You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today is a very special reunion 2020 episode. What is that? That's when I had a guest on in the past, and I liked him so much I had to bring him right on back. So today's special guest is Damon D'Amore, who is a C-suite advisor and performance specialist over at Legacy Mentor. Damon, welcome back on the show.
It's so good to be back. Thanks so much.
Oh, man. So excited to get into the updates and to see what's going on. It's like the podcast family reunion. I'm pumped. Let's just start with, we had a pretty blessed year last year. I don't want to assume that all our new listeners caught your first episode. So let's just start off with what you're doing over at Legacy Mentor. Tell us a little bit more about the company, please.
Sure. I'm a performance specialist, which means that I work with mainly C-suite executives in corporate environments, sometimes startups if they're venture-backed in A or a B round. But I work in areas regarding soft skills, mindset and focus, building a resilient mindset and a resilient lifestyle. And then once those two pillars are taken care of, storytelling is the main area that I work on with clients. And by that, I mean being able to tell their story to any stakeholder that they may have, their board, their customers, their husbands or wives, their employees. So that's basically what I do. I get people to focus on what matters most, get comfortable with the fact that when things go wrong, as they usually will, that they're going to be okay. And then once that mindset is in place, how to tell the story they need to tell in order to accomplish their goals.
Let's talk a little bit more about your practice. I mean, you have a pretty unique approach to how you mentor. And so like the quantity of clients you take on at any one given time. I mean, let's get a little bit more granular because you have a very unique take.
Thank you. So I work with 3 to 4 corporate clients a year. They are usually on 12-month contracts. I work with folks that have, you know, what I call binary goals. I'm not a business coach or a business therapist in the sense of I speak to my clients weekly and they tell me what's going on and we work through it. There's something very, very specific why they hired me, and that way we can track, measure progress both on my end and their end. So 3 to 4 clients on the corporate side, I'd say venture-backed startup side, anywhere from another 2 to 3. So max 6 to 7 clients a year.
No, I love it. And I like the part that you mentioned about measuring. So sometimes when people are thinking about coaching or consulting or things like that, it's in the gray area. What I like is that people hire you because they have specific things they want to solve or work on that can be measured and they can track their progress.
I'm really big on accountability, A, because they pay for it, or the company's paying for it, they want to see what their ROI is. But also, you know, I love therapy. I saw my therapist this morning. I think it's great to just talk in the ether about things in a longer term or maybe not so much specific area. But at the same time, every action that I take with a client, every resource I give them, every piece of work that we do, every conversation is logged into a private account so that they can track every week, every day, if they had to, what we talked about, what's due on their side as deliverable, what they expect deliverable from me as their coach. And, you know, at the end of every month, we know where we are and where we stand, if we need to iterate, stay on that task. And I work in 90-day sprints. So we agree on 90-day goal, break it down into 12 weekly action items, and then we start down that path. And at the end of that 90 days, we either keep going, or we adjust for whatever reason if we decide that goal is no longer relevant or it was the wrong goal for them. But there's always a accountability and a measurability.
Let's get into mindset. Where do you want to start with that one?
Sure. It's a big word that gets thrown around. It means a lot of things to a lot of different people.
So big. Such a big word.
So big. I consider mindset more in a philosophical term, as in, how do you perceive the world as it comes through your eyes and into your brain when you process that? What mindset do you have when you're processing information. I'm a big fan of Greg McKeown's book, Essentialism. It's pretty much the foundation of the work that I do in mindset. The idea that if you don't prioritize your time, somebody else will, that almost everything is noise, that if you don't figure out a way to create filters, then you really aren't prioritizing in a meaningful way. So mindset for me means starting out from a point of what matters most. Is it based on values? Is it based on your quarterly initiatives, your annual goals? But what matters most, and how do we create filters to determine every opportunity or every demand on your time or attention that comes through? Is it directed towards that goal? Does it meet that 90% or more filter? If it does, great. If it doesn't, people need to have the discipline to not work on those tasks or to delegate them. And it becomes really difficult for people if they think something could be an 80% win to say no to it. But that's the discipline. You have to do it. If I presented you with, 10 opportunities, and I said, this year, Adam, these 10 things could happen for you. 8 of them could be really, really good, but only 2 of them could be great towards your long-term goals. You'd have to have the discipline to focus all your energy on those 2 and not those 8.
Where do you find that people kind of go wrong with that? So, I know it's going to change from person to person or from business to business, right? Level of where they're at on the chain of command in terms of their company. Where do you find people typically go wrong with that focus?
They go wrong with what we call FOMO, fear of missing out. They always worry that if they've been doing something, some task or some taking on some responsibility for a long time, that if they all of a sudden stop doing it, they're not going to be as relevant to their team or they're going to miss out on something. So I love doing these Eisenhower boxes, which President Eisenhower devised a long time ago. And basically you divide up everything on your calendar for the week into 4 quadrants, whether it's urgent or important. Urgent means it needs to be done immediately. Important means that if you don't do it, there's a very specific measurable consequence not doing it. And ultimately, there are tasks on your schedule for the week that wind up in the lower right quadrant that are not important and not urgent. And you have to have the discipline to not do any of those. And a lot of the times when people actually commit to it because they're not afraid of missing out on whatever they think that they're going to bear, they come back and they say, oh, my God, I got 3.5 hours of my schedule back this week because I didn't do any of that stuff and it actually didn't matter. So the biggest roadblock is usually some fear that if they some task that they've been doing for a long time, even if they don't see it bearing fruit, that somehow it's going to have a negative impact instead of just being a zero. And by being a zero, it's actually negative because it's taking away your time and your attention, your resources.
Man, I love it. And I always tell my team, I have no fear of missing out. I'm like, I want you to do it, please. I love it. I'm like, please do it. It's good. No, don't worry. I assure you, it's good. So let's talk a little bit more about storytelling. So what's your take on that?
So, in my past, I worked in the film industry. I produced a lot of big television shows as a producer on The Apprentice, Undercover Boss, big reality shows. And whether it's reality or narrative film, you're still telling a story. And what I find that, over the last 3 to 5 years, everything has become more of a visual input. People don't want to read articles on LinkedIn. They want to watch a video. Same Instagram, Twitter, whatever it might be. And the way that people retain information and find it relevant to them is through good storytelling. So I always tell my executives and my clients that whether you're trying to gain advocacy for an initiative or going out to raise money or doing a press tour or a roadshow or trying to release a new product, you need to tell a story in a way that whoever you're speaking to visualizes themselves as an integral part of that. So I work a lot with my clients on kind of this proprietary mashup I've done of Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, the traditional 3-act structure, and then the way that I've kind of produced content in the past. And I work in a series of mind maps, visual maps with my clients. I'm mapping out what their personal journey is, what their professional journey is, what the journey is for their industry, where it's going, and then who their stakeholders are and what their journeys are, whether they're customers, investors, et cetera. And then how do you tell a story that not only is the industry or the business or this product going in one specific direction, but your company is the one to lead them there. And that all comes down to good storytelling. It's all in details. People are surrounded by data, so much data that they can barely get through it, if they can get through it at all. But all those data points are what make stories unique and memorable. If I just said to you, I went to, this place to have lunch. So, Damien just had lunch. If I tell you about this amazing BLT that's off the menu at the Mosaic Hotel because they butter the toast in XYZ, all those details – are going to make you remember at some point when you go to bed at night, like, oh, I talked to Damon about a BLT because it sounded yummy or whatever it might be. It's the same thing in business. All the details always matter, and the details are what makes a story sticky and what makes somebody ultimately pick one of those tons of details and implant it on themselves, kind of imprint it on their own persona and say, oh, I have a place in Adam's journey. I have a place in the story Adam's telling. So how can I help him?
Man, I wonder how many BLTs you just sold.
I hope not, because I'm
thinking about it right now. I'm like, man, I haven't had a BLT in years, and I guarantee you the next place that I'm at, I'm going to be like, Damon sold me this dang BLT. He's not getting a royalty because he doesn't know the restaurant. But, man, no, that's the perfect example. I say it kidding, but not really, because I will actually order a BLT. I know me. You put it in my head, and I'm not going to get that seed out of my head until I order one and eat one. But that being said, for the listeners, that's a perfect example of how storytelling works, how important it is for commerce too in business, and me talking about it longer, I'm sure I just sold some more BLTs for our restaurant owners out there. So Damon, that being said, if somebody's listening to this and they want more information on Legacy Mentor or to connect with you and to follow your work, I mean, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, the website is legacymentor.co.co. That's where I really is, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. My profile is just my name, Damon Diamore, without the apostrophe. I publish a weekly reading list on my blog, and it goes to LinkedIn, articles, podcasts, things that I'm reading and listening and sharing with my clients about personal and professional development, and also original blog content. So legacymentor.co, they can shoot me an email through the website, or really LinkedIn's the best way. LinkedIn has a really cool feature now I just discovered. Maybe it's just new to me, but when you send a message, you can record it. When you send a message now, you can record a voice message. There's a little microphone if you're on your mobile app. So I love when people send me voice messages on LinkedIn, because instead of reading this whole intro, I can get a little bit of an idea of personality-wise, vibe-wise. But, yeah, LinkedIn's the best way to reach out to me.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Thanks for the tip on that. I didn't even know that. Oh, my gosh. So, Damon, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing more about all the great stuff you're doing over at Legacy Mentor. That being said, again, I can't wait to have you back on for our podcast reunion 2021 episode. So hoping you have a great year out here. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to this on our YouTube channel, Mission Matters Business, definitely give us a subscribe there, but also leave us some comments in the comment section. Let's take the conversation over to YouTube. And Damon, thanks again for coming on.